friends at Hope. This is Ashley Selner. I am a women shepherd at South End, and I'm here with Alex.
Good morning, everybody. Good evening. Good afternoon. Whatever time it is. I don't know.
We are going to go through Psalm 41 today. And we have just prayed and prepared our hearts to talk about this one. It's kind of a tough one. And it's the fourth of four kind of lament psalms that David is working through some tough stuff. And so we're going to get Alex to read it, yeah. And then we will kind of go through the questions.
Great. Okay, so this is Psalm 41. It says this: "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout and triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen."
Yeah. I think it's the realness of this one.
Yeah.
Because I think that all of us can identify with David in this feeling of being like utterly isolated from friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, they're enemies, but he even talks about a friend,
right,
who's betrayed him. And I think, to go through the normal questions that we usually go through, it's almost, it's hard to see or even want to discuss what we see about humans.
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah, totally.
The one consolation is that while this is all swirling around him, he knows who his foundation is, mm-hmm. and he knows who is upholding him. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, in times that I've had like this, it is the one thing and the only thing that I could really believe in. I love that, but you, O Lord, have mercy on me, raise me up that I don't like that I may repay him. That definitely makes me feel
a little squirmish.
Squirmish, yeah. Because I mean, we're taught not to bring judgment or vengeance against even those around us. But I was reading about how, because David is king, he feels that authority to, bring that judgment to these people. What are some of your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think for me, what did I notice about God is kind of like, verse 1, he's a deliverer. Verse 2, he's a protector. Mm-hmm. He's a sustainer, verse 3. He's a healer, verse 4, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm seeing, David is seeing all those characteristics about God and the way that he functions. And so he kind of draws this conclusion that he can ask God to be gracious to him, mm-hmm. Which he does twice, right? Mm-hmm. In verse 4 and verse 10. Mm-hmm. So he's basically kind of saying, God, I know I don't deserve your favor. Like, my sin is too great for that. But I believe that from what I see in your character, and how you care for folks in need, like, I believe you to be gracious. Mm-hmm. You are someone who offers grace. And so I love that, like, kind of like what you were saying. He has this foundation of who God is, and he lets that sort of shape, mm-hmm. you know, how he feels he can experience God and how he can come to God mm-hmm. based on his character and what he's about. So, yeah. Was there, like, I mean, you mentioned some of the stuff that stood out to you about God. Were there things that, like, you noticed about yourself, too, or...
Well, I think the one, I kept going back to verse 4, that the honesty of this verse, that I said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you." Mm-hmm. I mean, he even knows that he probably shouldn't be asking for the Lord's help in this. I mean, he knows that he has, I mean, he's confessing that he's done something wrong, and yet he knows that the Lord will protect him, sustain him, deliver him. I think that was, made a huge impact on me this week in reading this.
Yeah.
That's probably the main part.
I think for me, like, you know, a big question that came up for me was, like, what voices do I hear when I'm struggling, right? Yeah. So, like, how loud are they? How often do I listen to them? Right? Because there's like a lot of voices going on in the passage for David. And I know that to be true, like, for me too. Especially like when I'm feeling anxious or depressed or sad, I kind of feel like it's easy to hear, like, whether it's just in my head or, like, actually in reality, like, what are people saying about me? Like, mm-hmm. how does this make me look to others? Like, what am I saying about myself? So, like, you know, David is talking in verses 5-9 about, like, even close friends who've gossiped about him and talked down to him and about him. And
wishes for his death.
Right, wishes for his death. Yeah. And, like, I just think I recognized in myself that feeling of, like, listening to other voices, like, mm-hmm. even if it's like self-talk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, more than I listen to God.
Yeah.
Whether it's those thoughts like, you should be farther along in life, or you don't measure up, or you shouldn't be struggling like this, or they all think you're a burden. Anything like that is, like, super tempting to listen to when I'm feeling anxious or depressed or, so it's helpful, you know, to see David point that out.
And it's funny that, I mean, this is just coming to my mind, but the fact that I had seen this in a very concrete way, but it is almost, paranoia that mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of struggling with. And maybe, you know, it is more in his head mm-hmm. than it is. As far as the enemies, because I think that can kind of be paranoid. I think in verse 9, even my close friend whom I trusted, mm-hmm. he who shared my bread but has lifted up his heel against me, that definitely feels to me like a very
personal, like, actual reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how Jesus used that very verse mm-hmm. In John mm-hmm. In talking about Judas. Mm-hmm. So what was particularly challenging about this passage?
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of combo the encouraging and challenging mm-hmm. kind of thing. But something that I noticed was in verse 12 where he says... you upheld me because of my integrity. And so, like, we both are kind of chuckling because, like, at first glance, right, it's like, man, that is a bold statement, right? Yeah. Like, to say in front of God, like, my integrity is good here. Like, I can, you know, I can say that in front of God. But, you know, as I was kind of thinking about it, praying about it, like, it seems like to me that he's connecting, like, his identity or, like, his idea of his integrity to verses 1-3, mm-hmm. Which is where he's laying out this picture of, like, those that God honors, right? Like, mm-hmm. those who have integrity in God's eyes are those who care for the poor, those who are generous to the poor, not just with their money, but with their lives.
Right.
And it's clear, too, obviously you said this earlier, that David's not just saying, like, my integrity is intact because I'm a good person, I do good things, and now, God, you owe it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's where it is, just because in verse 4, he's, like, very aware of his unrighteousness and his sin.
Right.
So, you know, then the question is, like, where does David get his security and his ability to say, like, I have integrity in front of God? And so this brings me to, like, it's cool and encouraging to me to see that, like, for David, he links his integrity to what God says about him. In verse 11, right? He says, I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. And I just read that, like, as a gospel truth statement, right? Like, when I'm securing God's delight in me, even when I'm struggling, which, you know, it's possible to do this, like, when I think about what Jesus accomplished for me, right, then my response will be to consider and to care for the poor, because that's how God cared for me. So that's encouraging, like, that in my integrity, and therefore, you know, God's grace towards me is not tied to my ability to perform, but rather it's in his delight for me. But it's also a challenge to think about, you know, my care for the poor as kind of a litmus test for whether I'm resting in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, to the degree that I know God's delight in Christ will be to the degree to which I freely am able to, like, love my neighbor, right? My faith is going to reveal my integrity. I mean, it's kind of all mixed together, encouraging and challenging to think about it like that. What about for you?
Well, to kind of piggyback on that too, I think there is a sense of, in either our sin or our sickness, that we do listen to those voices. Mm-hmm. But when we are truly upheld by him and know that delight, it does allow us to look out at others instead of be so self-pitying.
Mm-hmm.
And woe is me, or all of that. So I too was challenged. I mean, that was the verse that I picked out. I know that you're pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. And just resting on that he is, I mean, I love that word, to be upheld, because it does, there's the sense of being lifted up and out. And we was just talking about the pit and, you know, the slimy pit in Psalm 40. But there's also this sense of being held together. I love everything that has to do with, like, his grip and that feeling of being held.
That's great.
Held close.
Yeah.
So kind of in conclusion, was there a verse that was inspiring?
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, like, so this is kind of like where I've realized that, you know, Jesus actually quotes this psalm, like quotes verse 9 in John 13:18. And it's during that, like, passage in John where, you know, Jesus has washed all his disciples' feet. He's at the Last Supper. And he's told them, you know, just as I've done this for you, now you should do this for one another, and you'll be blessed if you do it. And so it's like Jesus is with these 12 guys, and you would assume that they have, like, all the faith in Jesus. But of course, there's the one, Judas, whose integrity, like, won't hold up, right? Like, he's going through the motions, but his faith actually isn't there. He's just going through the motions. And then Jesus quotes, like, there, he quotes our psalm, and he says, the scripture will be fulfilled, he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. So he's talking about Judas, who's about to betray him. And that, that's just another gospel invitation, I think. That says, like, in Christ we have a God who's so committed to our good, like our integrity, our rescue, that he endured the ultimate betrayal, right? Mm-hmm. So that we could experience God's delight, like that upholding, that delight that you were talking about. And that just feels to me like an invitation to rest, right? To ask God, like when I'm feeling anxious or when I'm hearing loud voices from like all directions, God, please be gracious to me. Like, help me believe the gospel so that I can be set free, like you said, from looking inward and listening inward to looking outward and to consider others. So, yeah, that just felt like a good gospel invitation to me to rest, you know. Yeah. So, I don't know. What about you? Was there anything that kind of stood out or a final kind of invitation to you?
I mean, verse 12, to be set in his presence forever, just feels like a promise that I need daily. I mean, for sure. And I mean, just in general, because I do know that this is something that I struggle with on a daily basis, is listening to voices that are probably mostly my assumptions, and then mostly kind of what my self-talk that's not very helpful. And I need to rest in the fact that he is not going to allow those voices to triumph over me, and that I will be in his presence forever.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let me pray for us.
Yeah, thanks. And, yeah, for sure.
We'll wrap it up. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for the ways that you use David's voice all of these years later to encourage us, to challenge us, and to point us back to you. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would use this Psalm 41 to be an encouragement to others. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Ashley. We're going to be hearing from some Cotswold peeps on Thursday. They're going to cover Psalm 42. So we'll see you then.